Well, as we turn to Psalm 3 now, let's just pray that we would hear God speak. Our Heavenly Father, we want to just come now humbly before you and ask that you would speak to us and meet with us where we are. We pray with the psalmist that you would open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your law. We pray that you would be pleased to do this for our good and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if there's ever been an opportunity to catch up on that film that you've always wanted to watch, or to catch up on those favourites maybe that you've not seen in a while, surely this year, or certainly the last few months, have been the time to do that. Well, I wonder if you've ever watched Apollo 13, starring Tom Hanks. It dramatizes that aborted Apollo 13 lunar mission in 1970. And if you haven't seen it, then I'm sorry to give you some spoilers this evening. But en route to the moon for America's third moon landing mission, an onboard explosion causes the spacecraft to lose most of its oxygen supply and the electric power, and it forces them to abort the landing on the moon, and instead the mission becomes one to get the three men safely home. Well, as part of that famous film, you might well know the line that the film has become famous for. That line, "Houston, we have a problem." Those were words that were more or less spoken by the astronaut Jack Swigert. He said to the command back in Houston, "Okay, Houston, we've had a problem here." That's what they sent back. There they were up in space, just floating around with a damaged spacecraft, and they were in trouble. They had a problem. Now, I'm certain that none of us watching this evening has ever had that specific problem. But as you sit watching this evening, you may well have had many problems and many troubles in your life, maybe even in this last week or month. There are the continued problems of health that continues to affect our country and whole world at this time, maybe even you as an individual or family this evening. There is the problem of job security and future finances. We hear of job cuts on our news bulletins. We have troubles and concerns for our own families. We're concerned for all sorts of reasons, maybe, for our loved ones, who maybe we've not been able to see some of them in recent months very often. We're concerned for our parents and grandparents, our children and grandchildren. Life has got its troubles, hasn't it? Well, this evening we're turning to Psalm 3. We come to a psalm of David. And I think it's fair to say that he has quite the problem too. We read in the title of this psalm that it's a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. Now, earlier on, we read from 2 Samuel 15, and there we saw how David, the king, has to run away from his own son, Absalom, who has set himself up as a rival king and was going to kill his father and take the throne of Israel. This is why David fled to escape from his son, and this psalm reflects that episode. It doesn't appear that the psalm is tied to a specific event as David was fleeing Absalom. We don't get any specific details here, but nonetheless, having no specifics is sort of helpful for us in many ways because it means that we're able to personally apply what we find in this psalm to our own personal situation this evening. Even though we haven't been in this exact position, as we read this psalm, we can take so much from it because David was in very challenging circumstances. And our lives have been dramatically changed this year. And at some point, you will have felt how hard and challenging things are for whatever the reasons might be. You might even be unsure about going into work this week. There might be something going on at work that is a challenge. You might be worried about your income. You might be nervous about going into school this week, maybe. You might know challenges in your personal life in all kinds of ways. And if that is you, then you can find help. We can all find help and comfort here in Psalm 3 tonight. And so I have just 2 points for us this evening. And they are very simply that, firstly, life has its troubles. But secondly, we can trust in the Lord. Firstly, then, let's see very honestly and openly that life has its troubles. And we see something of that in David's lament in verses 1 and 2. Life has its troubles. See what David says in those verses. O Lord, how many are my foes. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Did you notice that word which connects his lament together? The key word, many. There are many foes. Many are rising up against him. And many are saying that God won't deliver him. There's no salvation for him in God. There are enemies and there are foes and there are skeptics. And they have developed into this open rebellion that is growing against David as Absalom has sought to overthrow him. Now, that word translated in verse 1 as foe or enemy is oppressor. And it emphasizes narrowness or constriction. And so there is this image being painted for us as David feels the heat of his panic and struggle. There's this picture of one being tightly bound and being unable to escape. Now, I don't know if you're much of a fan of snakes. But I remember when I was in a primary school, a man came in to do an assembly and he had all these different reptiles. And one of them was this big snake that he had around his neck. He obviously got on well with his pets. But personally, I'd prefer to see one of those snakes behind a glass screen than around my neck. But this word oppressor is communicating something like that, like what the victim of the big boa constrictor experiences. You see those big snakes on those wildlife documentaries, don't you? They slowly but relentlessly draw their coils ever tighter around its prey, cutting off escape and ultimately crushing life. And this is the picture. This is what is happening. This is the threat against David. It is multiplying with the many rising up against him, which is threatening to consume him. As his foes come against him, they seek to embolden themselves and demoralize David. Many say of him, there is no salvation for him in God. Or as another translation says, God will not deliver him. They seek to just mock and exclaim that David's God would not take care of him. Their power, they felt, was increasing, their rebellion was growing, and they just sarcastically conclude that King David had been abandoned by the God whom he loved and trusted and served. His enemies arrogantly deny it is possible for God to rescue David. And the exact meaning of this deliverance, this salvation, it means removing restriction, finding freedom, providing room. And given that sense of narrowness in verse 1, that makes this so appropriate. They don't think that God can do anything about this situation for David. The cry of the enemies as they close in on him brings the first section of this psalm to a conclusion, and it is dominated by threat. David's enemies, they taunt him and they pose the question that he must resolve in the face of the panic and the threat and the distress and the struggle. A question that we will return to by the end of this psalm, and a question maybe that we are asking this evening. Does God really save? Does God really deliver? Or more precisely, does Yahweh deliver? Yahweh is the name of God. We have translated as Lord here in verse 1. This is the revealed name of God. He is the covenantal promise-making, promise-keeping God. And in the language of the Old Testament, this word that we have before us here, Lord, it has the same associations as the New Testament language of Abba, Father. For God's people, the name of the Lord was and is the assurance that his promises to David and indeed to us would be and are fulfilled. And that is where the glimmer of hope is found in the opening of this psalm. It points us in the direction of the answer to, does the Lord deliver? Does the Lord really save? Because maybe you're watching this evening and you feel constricted. You feel like you're between a rock and a hard place. There are burdens that you carry, and this question, does the Lord deliver? Does the Lord really save? Is a very real one for you. This year of 2020 has maybe felt like you've been constricted with no room to maneuver and you've just wanted to escape. You are wearied and worried as a result of this pandemic and its effects it'll have on you and on your family going forward into the future. And indeed, maybe even this week that has gone by has been for you a very hard week for all sorts of reasons in your work or in your family. You've known struggle and difficulty and stress and strain as the problems of life come at us. And maybe you're asking, does the Lord really save? Does the Lord deliver? Will my promise-making, promise-keeping Lord and God and Father bring me through? Well, wonderfully, as we move through this psalm, we go from a sense of disorientation to being reorientated. For though life has its troubles, we can trust in the Lord. And that's our second point this evening. We can trust in the Lord. And that is what we see from verses 3 to 8. In these verses, we now begin to get a glimpse of the contrast between David's enemies and his God. His God, whom he personally knows as one who will always keep his promises. He is confident in the Lord and trusts in him. And from verses 3 to 8, I just want to give us three reasons this very evening to trust in the Lord. And the first reason that you can trust in the Lord is that he is our shield. And we see that in verse 3 here. David is undefeated by the taunts of his enemies in verse 2. And in verse 3, he cries out with confidence, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." As David looks back on his deliverance, we see that he was certain of God's promises, and therefore his confidence was sure and resting in the nature of God described here as a shield and glory. David calls on the Lord as a protective barrier to inhibit and to frustrate those who plan to do him harm. And this isn't just protection from the enemies in front. If you've ever been just up the road to the Roman Museum in Caelleon, you'll have seen those shields that the Romans used as they conquered so much of Europe about 2,000 years ago. And as impressive as that armory was for the time, the shield didn't offer complete protection. The shield protected the front, but not the back. But with God, there is complete protection. The Lord is a shield that surrounds David both before and behind. He knows that he is under the protection of the great king who has promised to protect and to keep his own. But why such confidence in the Lord as his shield? Well, David goes on in verse 3 to speak of the glory the Lord bestows on him. He calls the Lord his glory. And in that word glory, we have something of the power of the great eternal king. The phrase signifies the Lord's glorious rule over his kingdom. And this is why David puts his confidence in the protection that God alone can provide as his shield. Because God's glory is greater than any other human power. And this gives him reason to lift up his head. an expression of confidence in the Lord who has the power to raise up the humble. And so even though King David has reason for despondency, his knowledge of God gave him reason for hope. His confidence was not in his knowledge of the future and what might happen. It wasn't in the might of his own resources. No, his confidence was in the one who had installed him as king, the one who had loved him and been with him. His confidence was in the Lord himself. And this confidence in verse 4 leads David to cry aloud to the Lord, who answers him from his holy hill. Wherever David was, he knew that the Lord could always be called upon, and he would always answer. Despite the adversity that he was facing, he was never prevented, nor did he ever stop bringing his prayers to God. And that's because his confidence that God would answer was based on the Father-Son relationship that the Lord promised to his anointed, as we read in verse 7 of Psalm 2. As one writer on this says, David's confidence in prayer lies not in righteous deeds done in the flesh, but in the gracious promises of God. Even in the moments of great despair, when the soul feels abandoned by all others, comfort may be drawn from the assurance that God answers. Comfort may be drawn from the assurance that God answers. Isn't it a wonderful comfort this evening to be reminded that even in moments of great despair and a sense of abandonment, maybe, God answers, not because of anything we've done, but because of his gracious promises to us, his children, as we come to him in prayer through the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Only God provides that shield that is both before and behind. Only he is our glory. Only he is the lifter of our head. Only God is able and willing to meet our need, which for us as New Testament believers is all found and made possible in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our protection. He is the lifter of our heads. He is the one through whom we come and pray to our Father. And so, brothers and sisters, take your opportunities this week to cry aloud to your Father, who will answer you in any circumstance, whatever the situation, whatever it might be. Cry aloud to him and he will answer you. And so we can trust in the Lord because he is our shield. But a second reason that I want to give us from this psalm, that we can trust the Lord, is because he is our sustainer. Take a look at what verses 5 and 6 have to say. They read, I lay down and slept. I woke again and the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. David is confident in the Lord. He has confidence in God's response to his cry in verse 4. For God is the great king who will come to the aid of his son. And so he rests. Instead of making plans to relieve the pressure, instead of being angry or annoyed in his soul, he finds rest and he finds comfort in God, in his God. In his Father, he lies down and he sleeps, we read in verse 5. Now, not all of us have a positive relationship with sleep. Some of us have the gift of just being able to fall asleep anywhere and at any time. We can take a quick nap quite easily. But for others of us, we might struggle to sleep. We might lie awake at night and struggle to rest. And there are, of course, real reasons, medical reasons for this. So please don't read this as saying that if you don't sleep, then you're not trusting in the Lord. No, this is saying that David knows that he is unable to stay awake at all times to protect himself from the looming enemies, and yet he is sustained by God, so that the next morning he arises again. We all sleep for differing lengths of time, don't we? But at the point when we wake, even as we did this morning, or maybe after our Sunday afternoon nap, we awoke because the Lord who created us also sustained us. It is because of this knowledge of God's kindness and faithfulness that he is able to lie down and sleep. In sum, David will not fear because he believes that the Lord will sustain him. God is in control and David is not. And so he knows that the sustenance of God is what protects him. The life of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that the Christian lives is one of being protected by God's loving care. And that marks the difference, really, between hope and despair. Though there are tens of thousands drawn up against David, he would not fear. He would not fear because David has abandoned his troubles over to God. Yes, David had real enemies and real foes, but here we see that through prayer, his confidence was renewed in the one who will be victorious. David knows that his glorious king and father would take care of him. And with this thought, he just consoles himself and goes to sleep. We see this wonderful truth of the Lord's sustaining care when we're asleep in action in Acts chapter 12. Where Peter miraculously escapes from prison. As the church there were earnestly praying for Peter as he sleeps in between two soldiers bound with chains, an angel of the Lord appears to him in the cell and miraculously leads him out of the prison. When we are trusting in the Lord, he will sustain us and he will work on our behalf even when we are asleep. As David writes elsewhere in Psalm 55, verse 22, cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Brother, sister, whatever it is that you have faced or you are facing, even in this week ahead, you can face it without fear as you cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. You can rest in him. May this be our habit this week as you cry aloud to him that you are confidently resting in the Lord to sustain you and to help you. You can trust in the Lord. You can trust in him because he is your sustainer. But a third and final reason that I want to leave us with this evening to trust in the Lord is found in verses 7 and 8. And that is that the Lord is our salvation. Let's read verses 7 and 8 again. They say, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Here we have David's plea now for deliverance. Remember back in verse 1 that many foes might have risen up against him. But now he seeks to rouse the Lord who is on his side to action to deliver him from his situation. Again, remember back in verse 2 that David was being taunted that God would not save, would not deliver him. But now he calls out for that salvation. They had concluded, David's enemies, that God would not save, but now David confidently asks for that salvation. David had the faith to trust God, to go before him, and to deliver him from his enemies. Now, the striking of the enemy's cheek and the breaking of teeth, it might seem harsh to our ears, but David is putting the hope before us that regardless of what enemies may arise from inside or outside the kingdom of God, God alone will be victorious. He alone has the victory. God will deliver David, and he will deliver you. That's because the Lord, who is the eternal, powerful king who rules and reigns over all, is on David's side. And indeed, he is on your side tonight if you are trusting in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this point, the 19th century preacher, Charles Spurgeon, says this: his only hope is in his God, but that is so strong a confidence that he feels the Lord hath but to arise and he is saved. It is enough for the Lord to stand up and all is well. It is enough for the Lord to stand up and all is well. And this indeed is still the hope of the church today in the coming of Jesus Christ and his victory over all of his enemies. He will deliver us. He will save. For as verse 8 says, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. Again, we see, in case we were in any doubt, victory comes from the Lord. Salvation is of him. And the message of salvation belongs to the Lord is, of course, what the whole message of the Bible declares, that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is by grace alone, and it comes from God alone. And as we trust in him, the one who saves, the one who delivers, the result of his gracious deliverance is his blessing. That's what David finishes this psalm with. Your blessing be on your people. The Lord has always graciously and generously blessed his people. From the promise of blessing to Abraham, way back in Genesis chapter 12, confirmed then to the people of Israel, and then to David, as God promised him the blessing of the removal of those external enemies and the peace among his people. But David was looking forward to the time of full blessing. As one writer says, in his hope lies ours, for in Jesus' promises, the victory and blessing of God are assured. Here lies the final reason from Psalm 3 this evening to trust in the Lord. He is our salvation. He will deliver us. And his blessing will be on all who have their faith firmly in him. He will deliver. He will save. That is a wonderful truth, friends, to take into this new week with. As we've seen this evening, and we are all too aware ourselves, the life of the faithful is not free from pain. It's not free from troubles. Don't believe anyone who tells you that. But at the same time, none of us desire troubles or enjoys them. They can seek to destroy our dignity. They can seek to undermine our confidence in the good intent of God our Father to bless and to save. And maybe we have been, or even at this very moment, persuaded that the enemy's line is right, that God will not deliver you, and that he will not save. But friends, when we are confronted with such challenges and difficulties, we've seen this evening that it is not a positive attitude that will ultimately deliver us and see us through. No, it is the Lord who will save. He will deliver. And in times of trouble, it is all about trusting in and knowing who God is and what he does and what he has done for us, his people. Only he is our shield that completely surrounds us. Only he is our glory. Only he is the lifter of our head. Only he can sustain us. And only he is the one who can save. The Old Testament believers, they would have looked back to the Exodus to see God's kindness and deliverance. In that event, they would remember the way that God brought their ancestors out of slavery in Egypt. And David knows that God doesn't change and he will always deliver his people. But for us as New Testament believers, we ultimately do not look back to the Exodus, but we look back to the cross, the greatest act of God's kindness and deliverance. We look back to the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who, if we are a Christian this evening, the one we are trusting in to save us from our sins. When we remember what God has already done for us in Jesus, it encourages us to remember that he will continue to be good and kind towards us. As Paul says in Romans 8, 31 and following, that if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God the Father is for us. He has given us his best in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for all who will come to him. And so whenever we face challenges, whether it be now or in the future, remember that God is for you if you are trusting in him. Make sure that you're trusting in him to save you from your sins. Every day, commit yourself to him, asking him for forgiveness, relying on him for all that you need. May you know this to be true tonight. May you know this God who protects and sustains and delivers and saves. May we rely on the past experiences of God's deliverance to provide us with the confidence for our present situation, whatever it might contain. The encouragement for us is that whenever David calls on the Lord, past, present, or future, the Lord has always answered and will answer him. And likewise, he will with you. Brothers and sisters, this isn't a blind faith or even trust based on some unconfirmed experience. Rather, this is trust grounded in God's greatest act of deliverance, which is displayed at the cross of Calvary as the Lord Jesus Christ delivered us from our punishment, our sins deserved. This is so important. Because often in the middle of our troubles, it is difficult to remember how God has earlier acted to save us. There are times when things are hard, when we are struggling, we find things difficult. Maybe our faith is struggling and we're doubting God's love for us today. We wonder if he's really there and is he really on our side? We can sometimes feel like that. It happens to so many Christians. And the present can become all-consuming. But that is why we need a means of remembering who God is and how he has delivered us and how he has blessed us. And the key is not to think that that's it for us with God. We're not to panic and think God isn't for us because things are hard in our lives like they have been for so many in these last months. No, when we are troubled and we are struggling, we are to remember God's past acts of kindness and faithfulness towards us. Even in our own lives, we can look back at ways we can see God helping us. We've known God with us in the good days and the bad days. But ultimately, we go back to the testimony that God has given us. Of course, what we find here in the pages of Scripture is the key testimony to the faithful, kind, and gracious intent of God to save us, people like you and me. If you take the time to read the Word of God, then you will be brought again and again and again into the contact with the history of God's relations with humanity. If we read the whole of Scripture, then we are left in no doubt that from Genesis to Revelation, God's intention for humanity is to rescue and to bless, which reaches its pinnacle through the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, I encourage you this evening, come again to Jesus. Come again to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him this week. Again and again, as you read the Bible day by day, come to him and trust him in the one who saves, the one who sustains, the one who keeps his people to the end. As we close, we can take this with us into this new week. We can be confident in the Lord. We can trust him to deliver us because of what he has done, what he has already done in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I do hope that we've seen this evening that Psalm 3 teaches us to dwell on God and his promise to deliver us even through death if we are trusting in him. We can cry to him like we've seen here in this psalm. We can cry to him for rescue. We can trust him for the outcome. May all of us be people who trust in the Lord, whether we are in times of trouble now or not. Future struggles will come, but our faithful God can be trusted, for he is our shield, he is our sustainer, and he is our salvation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this evening for your word that comes to us again, though written thousands of years ago, but enduringly relevant and applicable to us as we see firm reason to trust you as David did. Help all of us watching this evening to trust in you, to have our faith in you as our shield and sustainer and salvation. We thank you that because you are for us, then who can be against us? We thank you that you did not spare your own son, but you gave him up for us all. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you in our troubles. We can have complete confidence that you will be with us and you will deliver us, for you do all things well, as you have shown us in your great rescue plan, accomplished in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to trust you this very night, and as we go into this new week, help us to trust you with the help of your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.